How many of you were able to come and join us for breakfast this morning? Yeah, awesome. Can we just give it up for Christian and the rest of them that helped with breakfast this morning? Thank you. The first Sunday of the month, we really do try to put an emphasis on family. We're trying to build this culture. As I'm still trying to swallow my breakfast, excuse me. That's terrible. So yeah, we do a breakfast at 9:30. You're always welcome to come and join with us. Even if you're not a breakfast eater, it's a great time to fellowship, connect with others. And then in the service, we keep our kids in, and so kids are going to stay in with us. We're asking parents just to recognize that there's a discipleship that needs to take place. One of the biggest atrocities that I think we see in the body of Christ is that when kids get out of youth group and separated or children's ministry, they don't come back into adult church because they've just been formed and fashioned to feel so separated. So we're really trying to break that culture. And so we keep kids in for worship every week. And then on these Sundays, we keep them in the entire service. The other thing that we're going to do this morning that we do on the first Sunday of the month is we're going to take communion. And so after some time in worship with our worship team, we're going to get into the word and get into a posture of communion. And every month it kind of varies. Sometimes we break you up into groups so you get to know others. Other times we sit quietly. It's just the way we navigate it from month to month. But we believe in the value of communion. And we encourage you to take communion daily. That's something that we believe is part of our expression of faith and shouldn't be done just at church. If you were with us last Sunday, I made this comment. If Sunday morning is the only time you're opening your Bible or the only time you're worshiping or the only time you're taking communion once a month with us, then you are starving. And all of us know that, you know, if we only ate one meal a week, we wouldn't be very healthy. We'd be pretty malnutritioned. And so it's the same with experiencing his presence, getting into the word, worshiping. This is an overflow of what we should be doing all week long. And granted, some of you are here for the first time. Some of you, this is all new to you, and so you're just getting into that rhythm. But we want to encourage you to connect and discover the beauty of being the body of Christ as we grow together. Amen. So with that, we're gonna get into some worship. Pastor Mike, do you want to kick us off with anything? Awesome. Hey, so as we get into worship, our heart's desire is really to encounter the Lord. And so we want to be a place that when we let the kids worship or flags come out or sometimes there's a shofar or a trumpet, that again, you know, we're just trying to discern where to flow, right? So if you were with us last Sunday, we were in a place where Pastor Mike was, and the worship team had just led us into kind of a quiet moment. And there was an encounter of just, you know, praising the Lord and kind of going after it. And what we want to know is, Lord, are we supposed to shift and go there or stay where we're at? And the truth is, all of us come in needing to get in the presence of the Lord. And some days that looks really different for others, and some days it looks similar. And what our heart's desire is in the spirit of freedom and in a culture of freedom is that we're just discerning. And if it's not a place that you're going to go, then don't let it distract you. Just bless them and say, hey, Lord, I'm going after it. If there's a few kids in front of you, you know, we do our best to just let them worship. But sometimes, you know, they're kids. And so, you know, it's not always worship-centered. It can be, you know, wrestling or sword fighting or, you know, whatever else happens. And it's a discipleship. We're all being discipled. And so, again, our heart's intent is really to discover what it looks like to worship as the body of Christ. And so if Chad and the worship team starts to sing a song that really you just don't like, you know, you just point your finger at him and you just shake it, you know. No, just kidding. But know my heart is, yeah, sometimes there's songs that we just don't connect with, or sometimes they'll sing a lyric or a chorus that it's not the same place that we're at, and that's okay. But again, the goal is let's keep moving forward, amen, and just discern what God is doing in the room. And if there's a posture, a position that we need to shift into, then let's all shift. And if somebody else is shifting into it and you don't feel led to shift into that position or that expression, it's okay. We're going to discover what it's like to be family in the midst of the Lord's presence, amen. So with that, we like to start by standing. So if you'd stand with me, and then after that, you can take a posture of sitting, kneeling, using the altar. There's plenty of space to move around. Those of you in the balcony or online, we just thank you that, again, you would just take this opportunity to engage the Lord and let the ministry of the Spirit minister to you and through you. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and praise this morning. Come on, if you have a heavenly prayer language, would you begin to pray in it? If you know Jesus and believe that he is present in you and with us, then begin to put his name on your lips. And let's go after this encounter with revelation and understanding and wisdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to be the expression of your body. Father, we join with all the other saints across the globe that, Lord, have engaged this weekend in a spirit of worship, in a spirit of praise, to deliver the word, Father, to receive the word. Father, we are men and women who are in search of the more, who are in search of the encounter that's going to bring the breakthrough for our life and the breakthrough for others. Father, we posture ourselves today knowing that right now, Lord, our prayers can change the atmosphere, not just in this room, but anywhere we direct them. And so we direct them right now to the European nations. We direct them towards Ukraine. We direct them towards Russia, Father. We direct them towards, Lord, the Middle East. We direct our prayers to those places that, Lord, need intercession, that need the intervention of heaven coming down and beginning to change the atmosphere, changing hearts, because we believe that there is power in our prayers. And so, Father, we take a posture today to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Come on, lift his name up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give him the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The month of March marks the start of new beginnings. It's a month of winning battles, for the Lord himself will fight for us. March also marks the beginning of spring, where the Aaron's rod, where like Aaron's rod, there will be supernatural sprouting, budding, blossoming, and a supernatural production of fruit. Can we say amen to that? Let it be so, Lord. I'm going to go up here. I have a friend who's a prophetic friend, and she was telling me about, she had like, I think it was 5 clocks, and they all stopped. One fell off of the wall, one the glass fell out of, and it wasn't the batteries. And it's like, Lord. And in my own mind, I'm kind of thinking, it's just me. I think her prophetic clock is off. That wasn't God. But I got home and I really wasn't thinking about it. And then my mind kind of went to it. And all of a sudden, this is what the Lord spoke to me. Stop the clocks. The flag has been thrown. The opposing team has fouled again. It's flagrant and it's blatant, and it's going to cost them, and it will cost them the game. The victory flag is being raised over the champions, and the shout goes up. Game over. We win. Now, you know, I don't know the timing of this. I just know we're in a lot of battles right now, but we're his champions. And it's time. You know, the earth is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. And we're in the second Adar in the Jewish calendar. And it is a time of winning battles. It's the time of the Lord fighting for us. We're champions. We're his champions. And we've got to remember that. You know, he's already won the ultimate battle. We know, we've read the book and we know that we win. But we've got to, you know, he's calling us to stand in the gap. He's calling us to be the church. Amen? What's that? Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your spirit, Lord, that has sealed us, that we are your champions, Lord God. We are positioning ourselves, Lord God, to be your instrument, Lord God. We just thank you that you have never lost a battle and you never will, Lord God. We just thank you that the time is in your hand, Lord God. You can turn the sun back. You can move it ahead, Lord God. With you, nothing is impossible. And we just look to you, our great champion, who already has overcome hell, death, and the grave, Lord. And we say, we are here. We are yours, Lord, and we are ready for your direction, your moving us. Lord, we don't want to go forward without you. There's no place to go back, Lord. So we wait for you to move, and we move with you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's lift our voices and give the glory and the honor to the Most High King, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We worship you, O Lamb of God, Prince of Peace and King of Kings. You are welcome in this place, Holy One. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to tell this church, this body of Jesus Christ, that on this earth there are many different expressions of worshiping and praising the Lord. When the church gathers together in Africa, everybody is up and waving their fabric. They are waving, not just a banner. They are waving. The mamas will run up to the pastor and wave, wave their kapalanas, their fabrics over the pastor, because that's how they say, yes, Lord, yes. In China, they get on the ground. They all go to the ground and they cry and they weep in private because they do not want others to know that they're weeping for the Most High King. In the Middle East, they praise in many languages. They praise in many languages in the Arabic language. All around this earth, expressions of worship are different. They are different, and we don't understand until we've been a part of it. And so we must recognize that when we have different cultures coming together, it's not going to feel like it. We normally know it, but that's okay, because every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people will be worshiping together before the throne of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
About the last 4 months, God has given me a dream of the tree of life. So what he's been showing me is in Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the streets of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So what he's been showing me, it sounds kind of strange, but was tongues hanging from the tree of life. And when we put out negative, that tongue would fall. But right now what's going on in the world, God's bringing healing through different ways and different sacrifices. Different ways and different meanings.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
So would you stand, family, together? Because we are we have committed ourselves to learn how to be family. And so one of the things I love about Jeff and elephants in the room. So what we're discerning is this the Lord trying to call us into a greater place of intercession through our sister? Or is it something that we just have to navigate as a family? And I know we all have different thoughts and opinions, and we also have different customs and church experiences. I know that. Hey, turn me up a little bit, Bob. Turn me up a little, Bob. So here's what I want you guys to do right now. I just want you to start praying right now. I want you just to intercede right now. Would you just begin to pray right now? Because one of the things that we don't want to do is we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But also we as a family want to know, what is Holy Spirit doing and saying? And we're going to ask, not from your church traditions, not from your church experiences, but from what is Holy Spirit telling us to do right now? And how do we navigate all this with as family, with giving honor to everyone, to be family to everyone? So would you lift your voice and lift your hands? And if the Lord has given you a prayer language, would you go ahead and start operating in that right now? Would you just go ahead and operate in that right now? Because what we want is all we want is what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. All we want is what God wants us to do. That's all we're... And so let's just be real honest with each other. Let's just really navigate together. If you're online, pray for us. If you're not used to this, the Bible tells us he's given us a prayer language. So if this is new, come on, would you lift your voice? Maybe the Lord wants to break through in a new way, and we need to be just aware of that. We just need to be honoring of that. Maybe we just need to break off some traditions that we're comfortable with. Oh, God, lift your voice. Just lift your voice. Lift your voice. Not our will, but Lord, your will be done. Father, how you want us to navigate. Even lay aside your traditions, maybe offenses right now. Lay that aside, because all we really want is what Holy Spirit is telling us. Guys, keep playing. Yeah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. If you're angry right now, if you feel yourself like, hey, wait a sec, I'm being interrupted, let that go. Forgive, release that right now. We're just seeking the Lord right now. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Lord, we hunger for more of you, Lord, we do. Lord, we cry out for more of you, God. And if we've been too silent, Father, if we've been too silent, forgive us. Let us lift our voice. Let us lift our voice in a cry for more. Let us lift a cry for more, God. Let us not be ashamed to lift our voice, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Teach us your ways, oh Lord. Let's do this as a family. We're doing this as a family. God, teach us your ways, oh God.
Jesus,
teach us love
of my soul.
Come on. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, God, we lift our voice to you right now, God.
You've taken me
oh,
from
God.
The miry clay. I set my feet upon the rock.
Oh,
now I know.
Come on, say, I love you, Lord.
And I love you.
I need you, Lord.
I need you.
Oh, God.
Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend.
Yeah.
And I will worship you until the very end. Jesus.
Jesus.
Lover of my soul.
Jesus.
Jesus. I will never let you go.
Jesus.
You've taken me from the miry clay. I set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. And I love you, and I need you. And though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
So as we're navigating life together, there are seasons in which we do need to cry out. It's like if somebody was in a burning building, you would not say to them, hey, you better get out. There would be this urgency in your heart because of the need. So this is what we're trying to discern, family, is the Lord right now saying there's something that we need to cry out for a revival, for power, for God's deliverance, because we live in a world that needs deliverance, and we live in a city that needs deliverance. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to, in just a moment, I'm going to go be with my sister, but right now I want you to lift your voice very loud, like you were trying to get somebody out of a burning building, that without your voice, they're going to be lost. Without your voice, they're not going to make it. Without your voice, they're going to die. We're going to lift our voice right now, very loud together as a family. Then I'm going to go minister and be with my sister for a moment. But would you guys right now, like with all that's within you, if it's a loved one that's about to die, would you lift your voice and say, God, we want to see them saved. So that could be, God, bring deliverance. God, bring salvation. God, bring healing. God, bring your glory. And we're going to do this all together. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Let's lift our voice together. Here we go. Oh, God. Oh, God. Valley.
instant revival, God. Please, God. Please, God. Please, God, send revival, God. Oh, God, oh, God. God, send revival, God. Send revival, God. Blunt the voice of the enemy. Shut down the lies of our enemy, God. Let truth and righteousness prevail. Your kingdom is built on justice and righteousness, God. We pray every lie would be exposed. We pray, oh God, for a move of your Spirit upon our nation, upon our city, upon our state, upon our children and our grandchildren, our families, our co-workers. God, let it begin in Lewiston, Clarkson Valley. Let your revival in the Northwest begin here, Lord, where there's a crying people. Where there's a people who are crying out for revival, God. Let this be the epicenter, God. Let it be the epicenter of revival, God. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come on, amen. Hey, would you take a moment and bless somebody next to you that you've been yelling with and cheering with and celebrating with? Get to know their name. You know their voice. Get to know their name this morning. And then can we honor the worship team? Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. At this time, if you haven't already done so, I want to encourage you to go grab some communion. There's some communion cups up front. There's some in the back, but this would be a good time to go ahead and grab those. We'll take communion in a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if you have an offering, the offering buckets are out. We'll pray in a moment, but you can drop that off at this time. Yes, say good morning if you haven't already. Thanks for being with us this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome to Echo Hills. If you are visiting or a guest or checking us out, we want to bless you and say thanks for coming this morning. My name is Jeff Chavez. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Mike, who is standing next to me, is a co-pastor, and Josh, who was up earlier. Have you been up yet? I don't know if you've been up yet. Yeah, Josh, our associate. You know, again, as we think about heaven, there's a lot of things that I know we are missing. I know we just don't get right because the expanse and the glory and the magnitude of heaven is almost incomprehensible. Amen? And so to fix it and get it down into our finite thinking, I just know God laughs at us in absolute delight and absolute joy. And I believe he just sits there and just continues to champion the cry of his people's heart. And that's, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done. Well done. But there's more. So what the encouragement is in the midst of our gatherings and why we allow such a level of freedom is because we really want to see heaven on earth. We really want to see heaven on earth. And if you weren't able to understand Lori, Lori was up here. Veronica came and gave a word and just shared about the newness of March and the nature of March and the victory of in the month of March. Lori was sharing about the different cultures and the reality of cultures. Lori has spent many years, most of her life, just overseas in different cultures and in different mission expressions and groups, and has seen a lot of things. Some of you have done missionary work and have gone overseas for long-term, short-term missions, and you realize, man, the diversity of expression is so valuable. And the honest truth is, we've actually prayed for the celebration of diversity. We want to celebrate diversity. And I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about the dynamic of heaven, the gift mixes. But in that celebration of diversity, what happens is, how many of you have ever heard this phrase? It's always easier to love someone that sins like you, right? I mean, you just get it. You understand their sin, so the grace is easy. You know, oh, That's your sin. That's your hang up. Yeah, that's mine too. We're buddies. You know, we can get along. But somebody else, they sin different than you. And it's like all of a sudden the finger comes out and the judgment comes out. And, you know, all of a sudden that grace that you so freely received and was so freely given and so freely acknowledged and was okay with someone else, you know, because the sin was similar, it's not there. And that's an issue that God is trying to put his finger on. Hey, listen, sin is sin. And I love you, and I love them, and we need to learn how to love each other. And we've been talking about that. But now when it comes to praise, and it's not sinful, it's just the expression is different, it's like all of a sudden, I want to hang out with people that sound like me, right? That worship like me. And then there's this reality of when we come together as the body of Christ, navigating those distinctions and those diversities. And yeah, I totally get if you're distracted, you know, it's something that you got to fight through. And again, Pastor Mike just leading us through, making sure that there's no grief. There's no sense of like, oh man, why can't things change or shift? And you know, that's even to, I've had people, you know, I used to dance with flags and wave flags. And, you know, and I have people come and just tell me like, hey, you're the senior pastor. You shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, you know what? You can go to a different church. And most of them do. But there's a reality that, you know what, in this moment, this is how I want to express my worship. And granted, and I keep saying this, and I don't know, I'm trusting that this is the Lord, because I feel like I'm redundant, but I'm not able to let go of it, is if this is your only expression of worship, like this, if this is the only time you get to express worship, and then you're coming in with this expectation that it's about me, and I want it to look like this, and I want to be able to sing like this, and I want to sing these certain songs, then again, we are super malnutritioned, and we're starving. Because the reality is this right here, this beautiful expression that we call Echo Hills. How many of you know that when we get to heaven, there's no neighborhood called Echo Hills? There's no corner called, you know, Assemblies of God. Maybe four square, but no, just kidding. You know, but in heaven, it's sons and daughters, right? Sons and daughters. And so our heart is really going after sons and daughters. And if you'll allow me just a moment, would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? We're going to give you some announcements and we're going to take communion here in a moment. But I want to lay this foundation for us this morning. And many of you will be familiar with these verses. We teach these verses a lot. We use them as foundations. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. When you came in the door, you probably received a bulletin, and hopefully you grabbed one of these. This is called Devoted. I just went and wrote a little devotional this week, because starting tomorrow, we are asking that we all commit to a week long of fasting, praying, and preparing to give. Now, many of you already fast. You already have a rhythm of fasting. Some of you may have never fasted before. And fasting isn't, you know, denying yourself just food. It's cutting out something in your life that is potentially a distraction or keeping you from drawing closer to the Lord. And so the purpose of the devotion, again, is just to help guide you. It's super simple. It does have Bible readings, and so if you read through every day, just immerse yourself in the Word. But I want to put us in a place of why we even do this. Why do we even pursue putting attention on being devoted and then adding Matthew's verses, Matthew 6, 1 through 18. And we find it in Acts chapter 2, verses 42. And it reads this. It says, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So if you want to judge a church, judge it based on these four things. The value of the church, the expression of God through his people, because we are the church. The church isn't a building. The church is people. We are his church. And in the midst of diversity, we're supposed to be celebrating four distinct foundational things, and it's apostles' teaching, meaning it's the teaching of the word to send you out. Apostles' teaching is this: be equipped with the word so that you can go and be a messenger, that we'd equip the saints to go do the work of the ministry. So what we're doing here this morning is getting equipped to go and do something. But we're also supposed to recognize the value of, in that equipping, the nature of fellowship. The nature of breaking bread together. And this isn't just communion. And this translation, NLT, says sharing meals. The bigger picture of communion and what we're going to do this morning is actually to break bread in the midst of a meal. Jesus brought communion to life in the midst of what was the Passover meal. This is a meal that they would have celebrated for hundreds of years in this expression on Passover. And in the midst, he took the cup and he took the bread, which would have always been on the table because it was part of the meal. And he simply identified, hey, listen, this bread that you've held up for all these years and you've talked about, this is me. My body is this bread. These cups that are laid out of wine that they go through the ceremonial process in this Passover Seder meal, and each cup had a different meaning. He picked up a cup of redemption and he said, this cup filled with this wine is like my blood. So that when you eat this meal, you are reminded of who I am. So see, we do this little traditional thing and we bring out these little styrofoam pieces of bread and we bring out some really pungent juice. Yeah, let's be positive. Chad was talking about positivity. Amen. Let's fast from negativity. So let's put a spin on it. This incredible wafer is so delicious. It reminds me of the goodness of God, and this incredible cup of juice is so sweet and nurturing and revitalizing that when I take it, I'm alive. And when we do that, there's other aspects of the meal, right? How many of you ever sit at Thanksgiving dinner and just have silence? Unless that's a house rule, because you know that if people start talking, then it gets crazy, so you just make a house rule. But what kind of meal is that, where everybody sits in silence? The idea of communion, and I know we do this, everybody take your bread and take your juice, and Josh will lead us this morning. You know, however it looks, it looks. But the value of this is understanding this is foundational. We devote ourselves to this. So this week, during your fast, during your prayer, during your giving of time and talents, consider adding communion to it if you haven't already. The next two things here, the last thing here, is that they were devoted to prayer. And the prayer that they were devoted to was the prayer that Jesus taught them in Matthew 6. Because they asked, when you pray, like, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, say these words. And again, it's not just a process of saying words. It's actually meant to be an encounter. Our Father, who is in heaven, that line right there should realign everything in our life. If you're here this morning and you're just looking for direction, and Chad was talking about alignment, and the Spirit of God might be putting that word on your heart, start with, my Father, Lord God, who is in heaven, meaning he is above all other things. He's above all other situations. And if you get that revelation and you bring fellowship and apostolic teaching into the midst of that and the breaking of bread, all of a sudden we can endure anything. We can endure the uncertainty of the moment. Oh, Lord, what are you doing? Are you present? Is this the enemy? Is this the Lord? You know, should I go after that? Should I just rest? And what we see is that as they got that in order, watch what happens. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So the overflow of these four key things, this posture, brought miracles, brought signs, brought wonders. And it says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And let me just hijack, you know, this word common here, because it doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean that we all dress the same, or we all look the same, or we all sound the same, or we all say the same thing, or we're all raising our hands at the same time, or we're all jumping at the same time, or kneeling at the same time. Can that happen? Absolutely. But they had everything in common. Who is the common denominator in what we call common? Jesus Christ. The emphasis here is that they had everything in Jesus. They all knew, and they were all committed to being devoted and encouraging one another. Hey, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the provider. Jesus is the healer. And when we get into that level of unity or a sense of commonality, all of a sudden, we can start to cover the deficits that we all have. I can extend a grace over Mike, and he can extend a grace over me. We can cover one another. We can get to know each other so well, like a husband and wife, or a father and their kids, or a mother and their kids. And there doesn't even have to be words. You can just read expressions, right?
I mean, to have everything in common flows out of being devoted. And here's the thing, because I am committed to addressing the elephant in the room. Some of you will have to make a choice next Sunday about the attitude that you bring when you attend church. And stepping back, that choice will even have to be built on, do I go or do I not? And the challenge for all of us is that it's super easy to make a decision on something that's uncomfortable and exclude ourselves from where God's trying to develop and grow us. We do it constantly. Well, I do it constantly. I look at the choices and I look for the path of least resistance, right? And the challenge for us is that we want to be a place where God is evident. And is there order in that? Absolutely. But what is order? I mean, you know, I can say order is one thing because I love Excel. Like Microsoft, God bless Microsoft for developing Excel and spreadsheets. You know, most of you and my wife, like that's not your rhythm. Like that's like, it's just, hey, whatever. And is there discipline? Yes. Is there responsibility? Yes. But like, I want to see it in the box. You know, I want to see it in, you know, I want it labeled and numbered and in order. And, you know, wait, is this too transparent? Like, you know, that's what I lean towards. But what I've had to work on is extending a lot of grace for those that want to get outside the box. Amen. For that want to color outside the box. And extending a grace for those that seem to not fit in my box or want to fit in my box. You know, or challenge my box as if it's wrong. And here's the thing, maybe it is, but maybe it's not. And maybe it's okay that I'm growing and I'm developing. You're growing. And sometimes I have to tell myself, oh, Lord, in heaven, thank you for all the structure, you know, all the boxes that we will have, you know. So I think, right? And again, yeah, I will, right? Because we're going to get everything we want in heaven, right? Isn't that what we believe? Oh, please, no. Hang in there. It says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread, here's that thing again, having a meal, taking communion. From house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. The fruit of apostolic teaching, breaking of bread, fellowship and prayer is the willingness to want to be with one another from house to house. The willingness to want to share with sincerity of heart the things you're going through and the things you're seeing or the things that you want to encounter. That's that posture of sincerity of heart is another way of saying it is to have compassion. They had compassion for one another. They were passionate about what God was doing in their life. And one of the things before I hand it over to Josh and allow him to lead us in a time of communion and Pastor Mike is simply this. We are surrounded by bad news. Bad news is all over the place. It is not hard to find bad news. We can make up bad news. We can listen to bad news. We can give bad news faster than anything else, I think, sometimes. We can speak, you know, those tongues that we were talking about in the tree of life. It's recognizing bad news is rampant. And what we've been called to deliver is good news. And yet how many times does a conversation start like, oh, hey, did you hear about, you know, and it's something negative. Or, oh, have you been keeping up with, and it's something negative. In the news, in the life, a gossip, whatever it is. And what we need to be committed to, and what I'm challenging you to consider this week as you start to devote some time to fasting and praying, is acknowledging what you're saying. Acknowledging like, oh, I don't want to say and deliver only bad news. And what you might have to do is take some time in a journal and just write down some phrases. How do you start a conversation in good news? Like, what are three good news things that I can identify and share? What's something good that I can pull out of a situation and shift the atmosphere and begin to plant the word of God in? And, you know, it might start with a compliment. It might start with an affirmation. It might start with something that, you know, even you're going through. Oh, man, can I just tell you the great weekend that I have? And even if it's not a whole great weekend, hey, can I tell you about this moment I had this weekend that was really good? Because sometimes we'll miss the good and just cover it with all the bad, even though it's there. And so in the posture of getting ready to take communion, I want us to have some good news. I want us to be ready to receive good news. I want us to be ready to give good news. I want us to show up every Sunday knowing that, yes, there's a whole lot of bad news, and sometimes we'll have to teach our way through it to get the perspective of heaven to get to good news, but we should still be a people that are pursuing the good news, pursuing the good news of Jesus, and we come to share good news. We come to impart good news. We come to get our good news built up and added to. We come to take the little bit of good news we have and let it begin to triumph over all the bad news, that we'd be committed with compassion towards one another to give good news, because the fruit of it is the beauty that we find in verse 47. And it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Come on, they were getting people saved because they devoted themselves and postured themselves in such a manner that, Lord, they loved others. They pursued loving others to this daily salvation, this daily growth. And I don't know when the last time you encountered somebody giving their life to the Lord. I don't know what your life is like. I don't know how often you share the Lord with somebody. I don't know how often you celebrate their salvation or remind them of their salvation or encourage their salvation. But one of the fruits that this verse reveals to us when we devote ourselves to apostolic teaching, when we give ourselves to fellowship, when we commit to the breaking of bread, which we're going to do here in a moment, and I keep alluding to it, hang in there with me, and to this posture of prayer, is that people get saved. People get saved. They get saved daily. And here's what I do, and I'll confess this and transition here. If I'm not seeing it in my life, I dismiss it as, Lord, thank you that somewhere somebody's getting saved. Thank you that, Lord, there's people getting saved all the time, everywhere, all over the world. And that sounds, I don't know what it sounds like to you. I convince myself, like, that sounds really, really righteous. Like, oh, yeah, praise God. I'm super thankful. And yet what also I have to navigate is when the Father comes and says, but what about the people in your circle, Jeff? What about the people that you encounter every day? What about their salvation? Well, Lord, send them the evangelist. Come on, right? Send them somebody, Lord. I'll stay in my prayer closet and keep praying for them. I'll keep breaking my bread. I'll commit to the apostolic teaching. I'll commit to the fellowship with the saints. I won't forsake the gathering of the saints. I'll commit. But send them someone. Jacqueline, you're out of the box. You'll be perfect for them, right? And yet the Lord is going, I want you to have compassion for them. Because here's the reality. I don't lead them to the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that reveals that He loves them. I can lead them to a place of discovering, hey, some of these issues in your life, God has an answer for. I can lead by example. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus who reveals Himself to them. It's Jesus who comes and ministers to them. It's Jesus who awakens their heart in such a posture that when they come and say, hey, this Jesus you've been talking about, like, I want to know more. That's not what I do or you do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And when you hear that, like, we should jump all over that. We should go and say, hey, let's start meeting from house to house. Let's start answering this call of, hey, you want to know more about Jesus? I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. They're having dreams. They're waking up to dreams. And you know, we're avid dreamers, and we dream, and we do dream journals and stuff like that. And so he's talking to me, and he's saying, I don't normally dream, but I've been having this dream where Jesus is reading His word to me. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, do you believe that's from the Lord or is that the enemy? And I'm like, well, I doubt the enemy wants you to know the word of God. So I'm going to go with that's probably the Lord. And so then I asked, like, what does Jesus look like? And he goes, well, it's not a figure. It's a silhouette. But His voice is so inviting. And he goes, So I said, what's it sound like? He goes, well, I'm in this dream, and this figure shows up in front of me, and he starts saying, my beloved wrote, and he starts quoting out of John. And then this guy, he gets up in the morning, and he's like, okay, wait, my beloved, who's my beloved? You know, John was known as the beloved disciple, and it's verbatim. But then, no, sorry. So, total transparency. I asked, what translation? just out of curiosity. And he goes, it matches my NIV. I was like, okay, well, geez. I don't know if that was really Jesus. So, sorry. But God knows that he has an NIV Bible, I guess, and that's, you know, but that's just my ornery side of like, oh, out of curiosity, like, what translation? But then he described this other dream, and it blew me away of how intimate God wants to be with us and how it's transforming this young man's life to where now he's just devouring the word. And I shared this with Pastor Mike a few weeks ago, and both of our convictions was, hey, Lord, you can show up in my dream anytime and read to me. Like, I will be a captive audience. Like, I would love for you just to read your word to me. And he hasn't yet, not that he won't, but why he's doing it in his life, and you know, we've talked, you know, with others. Some of you know the name Harold Eberle, and we used to have Harold Eberle come, and he used to do a lot of missions trips into Iran and Iraq and stuff, and he said evangelism over there is the easiest thing, because all you have to do is, hey, do you dream? Like, are you a dreamer? And people will respond by, yeah, actually I had this dream. Oh, what goes on in your dream? Well, I keep having this guy show up, and he keeps saying his name is Jesus, but I don't know who that is. And that's who he knows who to minister to. Like, he has solved the challenge of, like, Lord, who's ready and who's prepared, trying to guess. He's just like, hey, Josh, do you dream? Oh, you do? Yeah, what goes on in your dreams? What kind of dreams are you having? I don't know. This guy keeps showing up, and he's telling me his name's Jesus, and he wants me to live more righteously. And it's like, that's the key for, like, oh, let's connect. And then others are like, no, I don't dream. Like, okay. Well, I'll just move on, and you pray for him. But I'm like, oh, Lord, evangelism 101, that you made it so easy. You know, do you dream? Because he wants to bring the house to them, right? I mean, do you understand that? He wants the church, the house, heaven to go to them. Oftentimes we've thought, let's bring them here. That's great. Come here. But we're to go to them. And then in the discipleship, we bring them here. So with that, if you haven't yet grabbed communion, would you please do so right now? And then Pastor Mike and Josh, would you guys like to come and lead us? And then we'll give you some announcements. Yes, yeah, we'll give you announcements when we're done.
What does heaven look like? Come on. We need to ask that of ourselves often. You know, Jesus never shied away from this subject. If you jump into the Gospels, Jesus is always saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. In the kingdom of heaven, it's like, you know, and he wants us to become familiar with this idea where we begin to dream with him about what heaven actually looks like. You know, I love how the disciples could ask Jesus a lot of questions. They had access to him. And one of the things that they asked him was, how do we pray? Jesus, how do we pray? And Jesus taught them how to pray. There's lots of great teaching about Jesus' prayer. But the one part of it that I want to mentioned this morning is on earth as it is in heaven. You guys, this requires dreamers to believe the Lord for the answer of what that looks like. What does that look like? Jesus, give me a picture. So let's dream this morning. What would it look like if Lewiston, Clarkston, and this region, where someone was to travel here for the first time, and they don't know anything about this place, And we are in this place where we are believing for revival. I love that word. It's so pregnant. It's so loaded with meaning. Where they come into this place, and they, as soon as they drive into city limits, or as soon as they come in, they go, wow, this is the city that Jesus loves. That when they lay their head on their pillow while they're in this land, they dream and have encounters of who this man, whatever he looks like. I don't know him, but his name is Jesus. And he keeps talking to me and telling me about who I am and how much he loves me. What would it look like if in our places of business, because this matters to the Lord, that what we encounter here in his presence together as family, that we are taking and we are partaking of this supper, of this meal, wherever we go. That our places of business, that people aren't safe from healing and deliverance and salvation. They come in to get a phone fixed. It's my job. And they walk out with Jesus. What would it look like if everywhere you went, you were aware of his presence? That his presence was moving. It was like you didn't have to go to a building on a Sunday to get it. It was like just there. What would revival look like if you left the land, the city that Jesus loved, and you walked into other regions and places with your feet, wherever you travel, that you were confident that heaven was on your heels? And we found out, oh my gosh, this Jesus, he has a heart for these places too. This is what heaven is like. You know, I love the story of creation. Adam, I don't know if you know this, but one of the jobs that Adam had, so our primary purpose on earth is what? To love the Lord. That is our primary function. That is the reason why we're on earth. We are worshipers. When sin came into the world, it didn't change our purpose. But we got a mission. That the family would come into knowing who their creator is. That's our mission, not our purpose. Our purpose is to worship. So Adam's job was to expand the borders of the garden. That was his mission. And as he's expanding the borders and he's partnering with the Lord to release the goodness, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if he was speaking to trees. Come up, trees. Come up. I want to see those leaves of healing come out of you. I don't know what he was saying. I want to see those roots go deep where they go underneath and they begin to pull on the glory. I don't know what that looks like. I can imagine. And I think Jesus would want me to. What does heaven look like? Heaven on earth. This is communion. This is fellowship. This is connection. I have this shirt that I got, and I love it. It's a good reminder for me. It says, revival is family. It's the family knowing whom we're connected to. It's partnership. It's always been about partnership. This morning, as we take this together, I want you to find a little pod of, you know, four or five, or if your family is here, great, do it with your family. But I want you to take communion together. And I want you to remember these elements. A lot of you have some amazing words and history around this. But don't settle into comfort. Don't settle into routine. I want you to dream with the Lord. What would it look like if I gave him my yes? what would it look like if I started a dream with the Lord about what he wanted to do in me? Because this is his heart for you. I'm going to pray real quick, and then I want you to, we're going to take, oh, I don't know, probably 5 minutes or so, and I want you to just start to gather around the room and take communion together. But let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for this. Father, we thank you that it wasn't enough that you died on the cross and we could see it, that we had evidence of it. It wasn't enough. What was enough was that you did it for us. It was for a people. It was as if you said, over my dead body, will we be separate? Will we be apart? So we have these communion cups that are, these are the communion cup, revival cups. There's revival in a cup. So Lord, we thank you for that. Lord Jesus. We take these and we remember again. You said, take these in remembrance of me. So we take and we remember. Jesus, you are our connection. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And we remember this morning. Cause us to dream again. In Jesus' name. All right. On your feet. Find some people to take communion with. Amen. Well, before we turn you loose to go release the blessing of the Lord, before we turn you loose, we've got a couple of things we want to share with you. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'm only doing one part. I've only got one announcement, and then Jeff will have the rest. Everybody's excited for Jeff. No, I'm just kidding. Woo! Yeah, announcements brought to you by Jeff. He's going to preach a sermon on it. It's going to be awesome. I'm just kidding. So, hey, I just want to share a couple things with you real quick. So Grady and I are both up here. We want to talk to you a little bit about prayer. We're going to show a video we sort of had it. I had very little hand in creating it, but we did it together, which was awesome. I just want to emphasize a couple things. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about, I love how Jesus connects this idea of prayer and revival together. That's Jesus's fault, in case you're like, how do these two subjects get connected together? And I love this particular passage. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to highlight some language that we find in this passage. It is that if we seek his face, that he will hear, that he will forgive, that he will heal, that he will see, that he will be attentive, that he chooses us, that he consecrates us, that his name will be on us forever, that his eyes and his heart will be ours for all time, that he will establish us, that he will remember his covenant with us, and that he would give us his leadership. Another way to say that is that he would fight for us. Your voice is powerful, and your Father is drawn to it. So on March 18th, coming up here very soon, in another couple weekends, we are going to have multiple churches coming together. And we just felt like it's just something that the Lord was highlighting is for us to just be in prayer with one another. For the ministry that's going on in this house, but it's been unique to watch multiple churches that are really feeling the same call, that are really starting to feel the same thing. And so we mentioned this last week, for example, that at Cross Point Church, they're doing 24/7 prayer. And so Grady and I have had a couple opportunities to go up there and pray. I encourage you to do the same. This is the website that's up there. It's crosspointlu.org/prayer. If you just go to their website, it's right on the homepage. You can click in it and you can sign up for an hour and pray. I do know they have a lot of people that are there, but I want to encourage you, go and put your feet in that place and partner with heaven for what God is doing in Cross Point and in our city and to the ends of the earth, because your voice is powerful. Your voice is powerful. Your voice is powerful. And the Lord is drawn to that. So they're doing that. And then from the 18th to the 20th, we're going to have a room that's open. And we've had just some contact with River City Church, which is going to be cool to see. Their body is invited to come, and they're excited about what that looks like, as well as having a conversation with, can I say the name of the church? Mission, oh, okay, cool. Mission Church or Life Center in Clarkston. They're getting ready to change their name. And so they're excited and will be inviting others to come and participate too. So what's important for you to know? Well, there's only 40 prayer slots because it's only 40 hours long. So two things. Sign up. Do it now. you do that. You can. So we have the link not up there, but you can scan the QR code. Do me a favor. Lift up your phone in the air. Just take a second to grab your phone. Hold it up in the air once you have it. You're like, we can't bring our phones out in church. It's okay. One of the pastors said you could. You're all right. Okay, I want you to open your camera application. Take it out of selfie mode. What? And point it at the screen where that QR code is. You may have to zoom it a little bit, and it'll pop a link on your screen. Yeah. So if you don't have that, you are welcome to visit Grady or myself or Deandra. Deandra, please wave two hands in the air so they can see you. Oh, tech issues. Cool. Well, I will work on that. I will make that happen. I'm not sure what the deal is. So, but it's. It's, if you're in your browser, it's bit.ly/40-hour prayer burn. 40-hour burn. Thank you. 40-hour burn. We practiced this before we did it. Yeah, so many times. And it's on the video as well, so we'll make sure we mention that. But I want to encourage you, use your voice. Use your voice to pray. Use your voice to pray. Use your voice to pray because it's powerful. And God is doing something. He's stirring something, and he needs your yes. Okay? Why don't we go ahead and play the... Okay, it's in the Echo's email as well. I got all kinds of help this morning. So you can see multiple people here in the front row that are on it. Okay? Let's play the video.
Most people know King David for shepherding his family's flock, defeating Goliath, becoming king of Israel, and being proclaimed as a man after God's own heart. But what most people don't realize is that David's heart for God led him to build a physical house of prayer for worship in the spirit of Psalm 27:4, which reads, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Jesus echoes this in Mark 11:17 as it reads, "And he was teaching them and saying to them, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations?'" This and many other scriptures reveal that David's heart to pray and spend time in God's presence is actually the heart of Jesus too. What if, like David, we decided to pray for the leadership of God in our city, to inquire of him for our families, schools, churches, businesses, and government? That like David, every layer of our city would be deeply impacted by the blessing of God. Or as Jesus puts it, on earth as it is in heaven.
Hi, I'm Grady Wall.
And I'm Josh Pilon.
With LC Valley 24/7 Prayer.
We'd like to invite you to sign up, along with others from across the valley, for a 40-hour citywide prayer burn on March 18th through the 20th.
How do you sign up? You visit bit.ly/40hourburn. So that's bit.ly/40hourburn. And you complete a sign-up form there. It takes like 60 seconds. There you can sign up for a one-hour prayer slot that works best for your schedule. Special note, it's a lot of fun to pray with others, so definitely invite some to come with you. Check your bulletin for more details, or at the end of this video, you can pull your phone out and take a picture of all the information there.
Definitely. So some of you may be wondering, what do I do during my one-hour prayer slot? For some, all that's needed is a Bible and a cup of coffee. But there will also be several prayer stations available to help guide and direct you through your time in the prayer room.
Where's the prayer room going to be located? That'll be at Echo Hills Church this time around. So the address there is 3215 Echo Hills Drive. But as you may have heard, a little spoiler alert, we're excited. This prayer room is going to be moving around the valley, multiple churches. We're pumped.
Yeah, so the Lord has given his children the authority to pray and change in all aspects of our lives and in our city. So this is going to be really monumental.
That's awesome. So let's set aside some time to be with Jesus, and we're going to pray until earth looks like heaven.
I've been a pastor for almost 40 years, and I can tell you, this is the first church that almost forgets to take an offering.
Almost.
Almost, but not quite. But before we go, we're going to ask you, there are buckets here, receive the tithe and offering, but I like that we're not the make it happen church. We just trust your faithfulness in giving, and we appreciate that. But we have three individuals who have asked to be part of our church and also have gone before our board of elders for approval. That's how our body works. And so we're going to ask Chad and Heather and Brenda if you'll come at this time. And if you're interested in becoming a member of our church, we have a way to do that. There's a form to fill out. We bring that before our elders, and we pray over that and have consideration. And then we do this. We accept them into membership. So come on up. If there are any elders here, I think I see Brian, Marnie, if you can make it down. Dia, is there any? I think we've got some that are gone. Come on up. Come on, brother. You've been on the platform all morning. Get over here. You're fine. Dia, Brian, why don't you come up? Is there anybody else, one of our elders? Okay. And also, if I was out a couple of times, end of this month, we have our annual meeting right after service. We'll be voting on, where is she at? Is Jerry here? Jerry Cooper, would you stand? That our elders have we're going to put her name forward to be an elder in our church, Jerry Cooper, and she's agreed to that. So what that is a yes or no vote, but we have done our part in due diligence of talking with her, praying with her. She's been a vital member, her and Paul, the vital members of our church. And so we'll be affirming in this month as an elder for our church board. But we also have these three that have said yes to being a part of Echo Hills Church, which means they're willing to say yes to time, talents, treasures, energies, prayers. And we covenant together as to be members of this family to help guide and direct where the Lord wants to take us in the future. And we really appreciate and value you. And Jeff, do you have anything you want to say at all? I see you back there. There you are, Steve. Dun, dun, dun. So would you extend your hand? We want to bless them and welcome them. Now, you can be a part of Echo, but to be a voting member, to be a person to make directions for where our church is going, it needs to be a member. And so, elders, you got to gather around them? Yeah, if we could. Thanks, Steve. Good seeing you, my brother. Extend your hand. We're going to release blessing on them and gratitude for them. Father, we thank you for these that are already involved in the kingdom of God here. And we bless them in Jesus' name. And Father, we as we lay hands on them, we lay hands on them, Father, for plans and the purposes of the Lord in and through their lives. That God, you have called them all specifically here to be part of what you're building, not only at Echo, but in this valley and beyond. And Father, we thank you, God, that they are saying yes to the responsibility of family. And we say thank you, Lord, that we welcome them into the house of Echo Hills Church as our family. So not only what they've committed to, we commit ourselves to them as well. It's our commitment, Lord, to be family with them. And Lord, in so doing, that Jesus would be glorified and the kingdom of God would be advanced. So we thank you for them and we honor them in Jesus' name. And would all the folks say yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Can we welcome to our membership?
Awesome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
We have a few more announcements. Quickly, you saw the membership slide is on the screen, so you are all welcome to join us, but if you are a member, we would like you there because we will be voting to approve Jerry Cooper, but also we're making some amendments to our bylaws, which require your approval. We will make them available on our website, so if you want to view our amendments and changes to our bylaws, which you should, so you shouldn't just vote for them, we'll have them on the website starting tomorrow morning. You'll see a little link there under membership. You can take care of that. The devoted devotional, join us this week. Look for a time to fast, something to fast from, pray, and then next Sunday, part of our giving will involve our tithe and our offering, but also taking a special offering for Tuma'ini Children's Home. We support them monthly. It's a children's home led by Horace and Phyllis Lester, longtime friends and partners in ministry, but they're an elder at Kenya overseeing a children's home, and so we support them monthly, but we're going to give a little extra to them as a church and as a congregation to bless the children's home. They take in orphaned kids and provide a home for them, not just an orphanage, but a home where we work to get them papers, we work to make them a viable part of their society and grow up so that they can then again be part of how God is going to transform Kenya and all of Africa and wherever he takes them. So that's where our offering will go next week. There is a handout out in the lobby if you are not familiar with fasting and you want some more information about fasting. We just put a little two-sided sheet together, which you can grab as well. I believe they're by the front door. Tonight, if you're available, come back and join us. We'll be here from 7 to 8, first Sunday of the month this year. We're giving our evenings to worship, and it's just worship. So you can come, and we can get loud, and you can be quiet. There's plenty of space, but we love these times because there's really no interruption of like preaching or announcements. We do allow the Lord to minister to us. And so last month we had a great time just commissioning the handful of people, the 30 plus people that were there. We put them all on stage and just told them, this is yours, and just validated the call of all of our lives to know that we are seated at the right hand of the Father. And so those are spontaneous things that the Holy Spirit does in those moments. And so we're excited about that. And then we will pray for our offering this morning and send you out of here. We, again, have so much blessing going on, and we have been called to steward so much. And one of those things that we've been called to steward is our physical property. You'll notice that the carpet is almost finished. They have a few little things left to do down these hallways, and so they'll tie those in. You're sitting on new chairs. If any of you feel led to donate or give to that, it just helps offset our budget that we gave. In the back of the seats, you'll see that we redesigned our giving, or not our giving, but our welcome card and a prayer card. So if you have a prayer request, we do take those very seriously and try to follow up with you, fill it out. But if you're new to us, again, we want to welcome you. We'd like to have a conversation with you and connect with you. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering bucket. And then if you are new, one of the graces that we'd like to just extend to you is by getting to know you and just offer you a free cup of coffee from our fellowship area and be able to sit with you and hang out. And so if you're new, come find me. We'll give that to you. And then next Sunday, we'd love just to connect and get that specialty coffee. We offer free coffee every Sunday, and if that's good enough for you, great. But if you want the sugar and the treats and all the other stuff that Bob and the team put together, that's what we're offering. So with that, would you stand with me, and we're going to pray over our offering, and you can make your way to the offering buckets. And yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I know some of you already gave your offering. That's great. If you haven't yet this morning, you can do so here in a moment. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of the body of Christ. We thank you for the diversity that we're learning to extend grace towards and worship with and move with. Father, we thank you that, Lord, your kingdom is evident not just here in this room, but, Lord, everywhere we go because we have been called the sons and daughters of the kingdom. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father. And Father, we thank you for the tithe and the offering, the giving today to take care of all of our financial needs that we have here in this room, but Lord, also those that we're called to give outside this room, to the nations where we give, to the missionaries that we give, to the local ministries that we support. We just thank you for this opportunity, Father, that we would have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll see you next Sunday. Bless somebody as you're headed out. Grab that devotional if you need it. And we love you. See you tonight.